Can I go get a drink real quick before we, Phil? Can I go get a drink before we do this segment?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's just.
Is that okay?
Keep recording. I'm gonna go get a drink as well. I got a little tickle in my throat.
Yeah, you're okay. Fucking coughing like Walter White. Why don't you go get something?
I thought I managed it pretty well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did. But Jesus, Philip. I mean, get something to drink.
Welcome to the Replay Value Podcast, where we deep dive into the movies we all love to watch over and over again. I'm Phil, joined by my brother from the same mother, our co-host on the West Coast, Warren.
What's up, bro? In this episode, we're going to talk about the iconic sports drama, Rocky IV. World heavyweight boxing champion Rocky Balboa travels to the USSR to take on a new challenger, Ivan Drago, to avenge his best friend Apollo Creed, who was killed.
Rocky IV. I mean, just an incredible film to be doing on the podcast. One of the highest replay value films out there for me. However, before we get into it, I do want to welcome back Corey Cooper as our guest host for the episode. Last time, I think you've actually, now you're the shortest gap between guests. You did Who Framed Roger Rabbit last season, just towards the second half of last season. And you did best scenes and recastings, but you love Rocky IV so much, we brought you on to do the whole thing for this one. So welcome back, Corey.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me back here. Glad to be back. I've been hitting the speed bag, working on my footwork. Okay, so I am 100% ready for this.
Did you go to a cabin in the mountains to do this, to train for the podcast, to do your vocal exercises out there?
Exclusively. I just wandered out into the woods behind my house.
Yeah, he's known about this episode for like 2 years. He goes in the winter and he trains in the snow and shit. You know, true to form. <Yeah. laughs>
So, I will lead off with that, Corey. So, as far as Rocky films go, clearly you love this one. Do you remember the first time that you watched it, when your love for it began?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I watched it when, I guess in my formative years in high school.
Yeah.
Part of the entire series of Rocky films. And I mean, when you see this film and you see the way that, what happens to Apollo, you see the way that Rocky fights for his friend, for his country. You see the way that Ivan Drago is an absolute monster machine.
Yeah.
It's just, it's awe-striking.
It's like, it's a penultimate 80s film. It hits a lot of those beats of things.
It's kind of started a genre of the ultimate good, bad movie.
So I do want to, that's a good clarification there, Warren. Just,
I love it, man, but come on. We'll get into it later, but there's I got some problems.
It was a far cry from the first Rocky film that won Academy Awards. So, however,
this one's all about some montages.
Yes, absolutely. Like 31.9% of the film is montages. And you know what? I love it. There's no complaints whatsoever. So you mentioned that you as a fan of the franchise in your formative years, it was just okay. Sequentially, you liked the first three Rockies. You're going to check out the fourth one. So I will ask you this. If you could tell me, Corey, what is your top four Rocky films, worst to best? And I say top four. I know there's technically been six, eight if you count the Creed films, but I think everyone would agree Rocky V and Balboa.
I don't acknowledge five. It doesn't exist.
I don't know.
It's just like Indiana Jones 4. I just pretend like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So there's four Rocky movies, original Rocky.
Balboa is not bad, but I think that it exists.
There's four Rocky movies.
You rank that one kind of stands apart from the first four. So Corey, give me worst to best, your personal, not necessarily critically acclaimed, but your personal top four Rocky films.
Worst to best. Let's see. Give me one second here. I would say I would say worst, and it's probably gonna be get some shit for this, but my worst one's actually Rocky One.
What? And
I know. Now, hang on.
This is a personal list.
Whoa. Okay. Hang with me here. Wow.
Well, Corey, see you later.
You're breaking up on the Zoom. I can't. Where? Yeah. Whoa. What happened?
The reason why is I have a couple issues with some of the scenes.
I know one in particular.
As the movie has aged, and as you know, this kind of stuff does happen. You know, Rocky One has that kind of awkward scene, and remember, this entire movie was written by Sylvester Stallone, right?
Yeah.
There's that awkward scene where he gets Adrian to go back to his apartment, and you see that he's living in this like rundown studio apartment that's just beat to sleep. It looks terrible. He gets her in there. He closes the door. He blocks off her exit, and he gets a kiss on her. And you know, as a viewer, you're like, "Ooh, that's really uncomfortable. Why does that happen?"
It is watching it now. Yeah.
And the actress, you know, she gives reasons like, "Well, she was sick and she didn't want to get, you know, pass the illness on to Sylvester." But at the same time, man, you watch that and you're just like, "Ooh, how does this relationship happen?"
Yeah.
You know.
So okay, Rocky One is the worst. So what about number three?
Number three is going to be Rocky Four.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would expect it to be higher. Okay.
It is great movie. A lot of montages. It's fun to watch. Great. Not knocking it there, but it's, you know, second worst. Sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
Next best is going to be Rocky III. Clubber Lang, Mr. T.
Thunder Lips,
Hulk Hogan, the whole drama with Mick. You see a main character
in the beach training scene,
how Apollo comes on as his trainer. Thing is just great.
Number one then is
Rocky II. Yeah, Rocky becomes champ. I mean, that's it, and you get to see how he lives with his, you know, his fame and how he gets his success. It's great. It's a true champ story.
Okay, I like that. All right, Warren, what about you? Worst to best.
Okay, so number four is Rocky III. Number three is Rocky IV.
Oh, both of y'all have that as number three.
Yeah, I love Rocky. Look, if we're doing replay value, Rocky IV is probably number one. In the movie, you can just put it on and just watch it over and over and over again. That's why that's the first Rocky movie we're doing on the podcast. Right.
Highest replay value for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
But in terms of personal favorite, it's number three for me. I got to go number two. I agree with Corey. I think Rocky II is really underappreciated. I fucking love Rocky II. So it's my number two, but I got to go with the OG number one, Rocky, man.
One best picture, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
so, I mean, there's a lot of great elements about the movie, obviously, but the fact that he doesn't win, that's kind of powerful, and it really stays with you. And he gets the Hollywood movie ending in Rocky II that we know he deserves, and he's going to get at some point. The first Rocky is what made him who he is. That's where the character's foundation was molded in championship gold.
Yeah. All right, for me, number four is Rocky III. And this is like, you know, you're splitting hairs or whatever here. They're all...
Yeah, we're getting the numbers confused. Yeah. Like, number three, Rocky IV.
Yeah, maybe we do like A, B, C, and D. Okay, so D is Rocky III. C for me would be the first Rocky. I feel like it's a great film, doesn't age as well as the others. And I am a personal, I do am considering the replay value ability of this in this ranking. So number two, B for me would be Rocky II.
If we're doing replay value, Rocky II would be number two behind number four. The story takes the next
logical step of dealing with the fame and whatnot.
I love Rocky II. That's how I just think it's really, it almost, it battles number four with number one. Really great, Corey.
For me, though, Rocky IV is going to be my top. It's my favorite Rocky film. It's the one I've seen the most, which I personal favorite here, guys. I mean, I love this film. I mean, it has so many great things about it that we're going to get into: the music, the USA versus Russia. I mean, it's got probably the best villain out of any of the Rocky films. You get Apollo and the friendship. Yeah. So to me, y'all are dumb. I can rank it at number three. But anyway.
They would have just had Thunder Lips in every single one of them, it would have been.
I was just about to give a shout out to Thunder Lips.
Yeah. So worth being noted that, Sylvester Stallone did write, direct, and starred, of course, in Rocky IV. So, I mean, pulling triple duty there. He actually,
his third Rocky movie that he did that. He did it for Rocky 2, Rocky 3, and now Rocky 4.
And then he ended up also doing it for Rocky Balboa. The only ones he didn't direct were 1 and 5. John G. Avildsen was the director for both of those.
And I think he was trying to direct Creed or Creed 2. I think he was trying to, and they didn't give him the job.
Is Coogler, Ryan Coogler, I think, is maybe the...
Yeah, but I think he was trying to get like one of the sequels or being contention for. Because I think Coogler stepped away, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I think Michael B. Jordan's directing the new one, right?
I am not sure, but yeah, that would be...
I think that's true.
But this was Sylvester Stallone's fifth feature film directing.
It's just kind of surprising. I mean, like, you know, he gets a lot of notoriety for, you know, writing and starring in the first one, and like all the stories, story about him, like selling his dog and getting it back and whatnot. So, I mean, at this point, I think the studios trusted him to be like, to carry the franchise, to know what story to use.
He's
to
the
tell
custodian
it.
Of the franchise. He created it.
Exactly. I mean, that's just, I can't think of another franchise out there where they're the lead actor is such a part of it in that way, in the development stage, and like essentially the owner of it in that way. It's just kind of crazy that it just exists by itself in that way.
Sure. And he also had a movie novelization, and Stallone was credited as the author. But you know, that shit had a ghostwriter. Come on.
Credited it. I'm reading my air quotations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I know you've talked about novelizations and like you would like to read those. It takes it a step.
I read them a lot back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I kind of would like to read the one for Rocky IV, because I heard it actually has like Drago's backstory. Like he was like a coal miner or something, and when he got discovered or something like that. But I don't feel like you get enough of that in this film, obviously. You don't get a lot of really any of his backstory. So no, that would have been
there's really no backstory for him.
He's a villain. I mean, how much do you need? I mean, I think the mystique kind of works in the favor of the character. You get too much, and then you start to empathize with him more than fucking Rocky. I mean,
that's true. I mean, exactly. I mean, the physicality of it. You know, you see him and the presence of him. The less you know, the more it feeds into him. Now, see, when I watch films today, I do think that the best villains are the ones that you can relate to. Mm-hmm. And you get like a glimpse of that where he's just like, I'm not fighting for you. I'm doing this for me. So you can kind of relate to him, but I mean, in every sense of the film, as far as villains go, it does work for him with the less is more approach. Like you said, it makes it hypes him up more.
Yeah. Filming. They doubled the frozen Russian landscape in Wyoming. So they shot everything in the United States. What I found more surprising when, you know, learning about the production of the movie is the actors engaged in real sparring. They were fucking hitting each other, which, I mean, come on, today, I don't know how much you're really getting of that. But specifically Stallone and Lundgren, the first part of the fight anyway, when they were at the end of the boxing match was real. And then the infamous injury that Stallone suffered as a result of Lundgren punching him in the chest and hitting him so hard that his heart hit against his breastbone and he had trouble breathing and ended up having to go to the hospital later that night.
Yeah, I had some swelling, yeah.
Wow.
That is crazy that happened on the set of a film. I mean, that would never happen today. There would be so much precautions in place, but that's crazy that Stallone was willing to go to that level of commitment. I mean, what, on Rocky IV, when he's already a proven star and he's doing everything else?
Now, I will call out, and Corey, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, as someone who is a fan custodian of the franchise, I don't think Sylvester Stallone is as ripped in any other Rocky film as he is in this film. Dude is shredded in Rocky IV.
Yeah, he is absolutely just, he's shredded. I mean, it's unreal. The amount of muscle mass these guys put on, it's pure 80s. I mean, like, there's the scene.
Yeah, the 80s actually is.
There's a scene with Rocky doing crunches on a table. And like Paulie's watching him, and he's like, he's sweating watching him do that. That's him doing that. That is the craziest thing. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of
they're
sweat.
All
in this
huge.
Movie.
Even Carl Weathers is built when he's in the pool. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, so I do want to add. So I mean, you know, I feel like there's a level of hubris and ego that comes with this. Like, hey, I'm big. You know, this is my fourth film doing this. Let's do real sparring. Show me what you got, Dolph. You know, let's see how it is. So I think they're part of it is him being in control of what goes on in that set. And he's just like, okay, I'm fine with it. Dolph was fine with it. So they proceeded to
Carl Weathers was in Lundgren pissed Carl Weathers off. He was really rough with him, pretty aggressive. And in fact, Carl Weathers was going to quit the movie.
Yeah. Well, he like picked him up. There was one part where he like kind of picks him up and like throws him in the ring.
They call it out, say they threw him 15 feet across the ring.
Yeah. So like, I guess when they were shooting that, he like really kind of went off book and threw him somewhat. So yeah, Weathers, he wanted to walk. So there was some tension there. And of course, you know, Stallone got them back on track and you know, were able to finish the film. But I was reading about these things and it made me pose the question, you know, I always like to think about, okay, how would a regular person compete at a professional level like this? So, you know, someone's always, I think I've read the joke before. It's just like, they need to have a regular person compete in the Olympics, like not to win any, just to show what a regular person would look like alongside Olympic trained athletes. So I will ask you this. Okay. Warren and Corey, you are given 6 months to train. You're in your physical prime and you're given 6 months.
Oh, so right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Guys. to train, you know, the whole, you got trainers, nutritionists, whatever you could think of to train for boxing. Who would you rather fight that was in their prime? Rocky Balboa, Ivan Drago, or Apollo Creed? Corey, I'll let you go first.
So I'm going to do this by ruling some people out, right? I've got to rule out Drago. Their reach. For one thing, I'm not a tall fella. So, you know, I've got to rule that. I got to take them out. They show in the film, so in the Rockyverse,
everyone calls it,
he has a punching strength of what, 1850 pounds per square inch when they first started.
It goes
over 2000,
and then he goes up to 2150 by the time he actually like fights Rocky, right? So I'm not about that life at all.
Sure. Okay.
Fair enough. Say, you know, the argument can come down between Apollo and Rocky, because you know it's Apollo kind of past his prime, right? So maybe that's
I didn't say Apollo in this film. I said Apollo in his prime.
Oh, Apollo in his prime? Okay, cool.
Fighters are in their prime.
It's Rocky.
You're going to fight Rocky.
I'm with Corey because you know why? I'm taking on the champ. I'm taking on the icon because if I beat Rocky, I'm the shit.
So, well, I mean, you're not going to beat Rocky. That's the thing, though. But they play him up as an underdog so much, even though you've seen him beat the other two. You're still like, yeah, I'll fight Rocky. I could take him.
But I've seen wrestling.
I think it's better to go against the him and lose. At least I'm that guy in the movie that loses against him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of Rocky IV.
I'm in the most important fight.
Okay, also, I would pick Rocky as well. I'm not giving you a shit.
It's an honor to lose.
Yeah,
here's the Rocky
thing. Also, like with Drago, you're not getting a punch in. He's just going to beat you to the ground and possibly kill you.
I'm going to die. You know, Rocky is too good of a person to kill.
Also,
me in the ring.
He's also a punching bag. You know, you could get some good hits in on Rocky. You might lose the fight, but you know, you could.
It'll look good.
That's
it'll
the thing.
Look
Rocky
good.
Will kill. Rocky will hurt. Rocky will beat you, but he's not going to like kill you. You know, come on. He's the lead. He's gonna take it easy.
I mean, and to go back to Warren's point here about you're fighting the champ. That's the one of the plot points of Rocky IV.
Exactly.
Right?
God forbid you get lucky, then oh my God, I'm the shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like Drago wanted to fight.
Listen to the delusions of grandeur. You know, if I beat Rocky, it never happened, but I could do it.
Hey, you never know. Something could happen. Hey, come on.
We can't talk about Rocky IV without talking about the music. probably one of the biggest reasons it has a high replay value for me. The score of this film was done by Vince DiCola. Bill Conti had actually done the first three films and then came back for Rocky's Five and Rocky Balboa. The reason he didn't do Four is because he was too busy doing the score to Karate Kid 2. I mean, he was in high demand. And the musical connections between the Karate Kid franchise and the Rocky franchise are kind of weird and surprising.
Well, it runs deeper than music. I mean, you have the same director.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
Right, so the music kind of goes along with that as far as, like, one, it was getting Survivor, and then, like, Peter Cetera, was going to do the one for Rocky IV, ended up going to Rocky Karate Kid II. But anyway, so I know that there is a lot of this music that is going to tie into, you know, the montages, best scenes. However, I'm not going to step on it. I want to call out one that I love.
Don't you do it.
And that is a war, the Rocky IV score mix, where it's like kind of hyping near the end of the film, hyping the moment. It does a great job of a.
Oh, is it in the 15th round in the end of the fight, or is it round two early?
It's early. Okay. It's early.
Those
so
are
it's like
two
it's,
best scenes in the. Final
it's
fight,
setting the stakes the of it. Round. It's like it hypes the moment of the fight that's coming on. You get that kind of trumpetist fanfare earlier, and then like about a minute in, like you just get that serious drop, where it's just like, yeah, it's time to fight. It's just there's a lot of great moments that music that drive the visual elements of the film.
Yeah, and I don't want to step on best scenes, so I'm saving. I don't want to piss those away.
I agree. So I do want to say that oddly enough, I'm hyping it up so much, but the score actually won a Razzie for worst musical score in 1985.
That's
it's a crime that happened.
That's a crime. A couple of years back, I did a Couch to 5K program. And the app that I used, you were able to just load your own playlist, and then it would tell you when to run and when to walk. I absolutely had this entire playlist listed in there.
Yes.
Rocky IV would get you hyped to work out every single time. I used to tell Phil that I wanted to be ripped like Rocky. Never happened, but I wanted it real bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I remember on Spotify, you shared a Nita montage playlist with me, and I had a lot of Rocky IV on there.
I made that playlist.
You made that playlist. Wow. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. But it's a great playlist. But, Rocky, it has a lineage of great motivational, you know, songs that you want to work out to, you know, that just drives you. Rocky IV is at the peak of that. I mean, the soundtrack is incredible.
Best of the series?
By far, yeah. Yes. I do want to call out that was the last year that Razzie was awarded. They discontinued that category, probably because they got so much shit awarded to Rocky IV.
We'll move on to the stars of the picture.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Starring Sylvester Stallone, Talia Shire, Burt Young, Carl Weathers, Brigitte Nielsen, Tony Burton, and Dolph Lundgren. What I found kind of interesting, I was like, how did Brigitte Nielsen get in this movie? Because she's really not that good in it. And then I find out she was dating Sylvester Stallone at the time.
Not only dating, engaged. They were engaged.
Tara, one of the worst Russian accents ever put on in a movie. I mean, it was terrible.
Number one, she's not Russian.
She could learn to fucking do an effective one. Come on.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think.
I mean, Dolph did. He learned.
Dolph was great. He's, yeah.
Well, he had six lines.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, she got nominated for a Razzie.
Then later got married and they made Cobra together. So she ended up making a couple movies with Sly.
Oh, okay.
Returning with sportscaster Stu Nahon in his fourth Rocky movie. I hope I said that right. Knowing me, I probably didn't. And then Apollo's wife, Sevilla Miles, who plays Marianne. This was her second Rocky movie.
So, obviously, most of the cast was returning from the first three films, as you stated there. So they're pretty much locked in. So I want to ask you, with the film focusing mainly on those principal actors returning, who do you think was the most underutilized actor in Rocky IV? Who didn't get enough screen time?
I don't know about underappreciated. I have an underrated performance. I think Carl Weathers is really good in this movie. He gives 120% in every scene. He's terrific. He's got such a high energy. He's so committed to the part. He's having a great time. There's a joy and enthusiasm. You can tell the actor is really relishing playing the role, and he knows it's his last time, so he's having fun. You can't really say it's underutilized, though, because his character is supposed to, you know, die in essentially the end of the first act.
Okay. All right, Corey, what about you?
Underutilized, I would have to say Brigitte Nielsen. And I know we were given some flack, but she was underutilized here. Her character could have been really good for this film because there could have been a whole B plot between like how she relates to Drago, how
you didn't
Adrian
get to see any of that.
Relates.
Yeah, I think Stallone disagrees with you. He ended up cutting her pretty much out of the movie in the new director's cut that came out last year.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you did have maybe a more acclaimed or let's just say a better actress in that part, you could have highlighted some of those, Corey, but I agree that character, separate from the actress, but the character, there should have been more there to
show.
You
don't need it in this genre. This wasn't the kind of movie where you need to humanize the bad guy. In this case, less is more.
My most underutilized actor is Tony Burton. Duke. This is a guy who was like a father figure to Apollo. Apollo has died. I know you got that one scene with him and Rocky
Dude, okay, like he's been in the other movies, man, but he had a great scene in this that really is
it's a shining moment of the series.
That,
I want more of that. I didn't feel like you got to see enough of him.
Think he's great in this.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's so good. That's why I wanted to see more of it. Just a side note here. It showed him playing chess with the Russian. He's a very good chess player in real life. He was also in the film a few years prior, The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's film, and he actually beat Stanley Kubrick in chess. So he's actually a very, very good chess player. So which I thought it's kind of cool they included that real side of the real Tony Burton side of it. Anyway.
So we typically talk about the biggest benefactors of Rocky IV. Who do you guys think when looking at the cast benefited the most from this film? I'm going to go in and lead off with my answer. I think it's got to be Dolph Lundgren. It launched him as
an actor. Easily.
I mean, he was an unproven newcomer. And then you watch this and you're like, holy shit, that's a movie star. And then you can't wait to kind of see what he does next. There's this interest. Is he going to be, a big action movie star? And he ended up, for a while he was one. I mean, he did he played He-Man and Masters of the Universe, Punisher in 89, and then Universal Soldier, which that's got to be my favorite Dolph Lundgren movie. I fucking love the first Universal Soldier. My favorite Van Damme movie, too, probably.
It really built his legacy. I mean, because here we are almost 40 years later, and Old Spice is using him. using his iconic look from this film to pitch deodorant.
It's iconic. Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're all in agreement here. He is the biggest benefactor.
Not even a question, right? Because everyone else is pretty much who they are, right? They're established. Best Rocky villain. Guys, of this series, better than Clubber Lane?
Yes, absolutely.
I love Clubber Lane.
We gotta throw him in there.
Clubber is 100% aggression all the time. There's no reservation to it. He knows he's bad, but Drago is a different level. Drago is Darth Vader.
He's got the best training setup, right? I mean, the futuristic gear he has. I mean, it's like fucking the Gatorade Sports Center training facility in a fucking 80s movie. It's crazy to see that.
Yeah.
We see the steroid shot. I mean, he's got all the advantages. I can't believe we get a fucking close-up of a fucking steroid shot. And it doesn't even faze him. He's a fucking machine.
I mean, there's no subtext at that point anymore. They kind of brought up, is he doping or whatnot? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is. 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When I was rewatching it, I mean, that particular scene came on, and my wife walked into the living room, and she's like, what are all those buttons? And I was like, training. Training. Just a bunch of colored lights. That's it. That's science.
It's science.
So taking into account the most valuable performance, Stallone is obviously... This is Stallone at the top of his career. He didn't benefit the most from this movie, but he's at his peak. This year, he had Rocky IV and Rambo II. Both of those films were in the top five box office grosses of the year. So two huge hits. Star, writer, director. This is his franchise, his movie. Stallone is great in all the Rocky movies, but I got to go Dolph Lundgren. He's my MVP. We're talking about him being the biggest benefactor. It's iconic. It's a role he was born to play. It's basically a 5 and under, right? But he hardly has any lines, but... really hard to find someone who can make you scared for Apollo and Rocky, and Dolph Lundgren fills those shoes.
It was kind of by design that he was so quiet and stoic. I mean, Dolph wanted to play him that way. as almost as an antithesis of Clubber Lang from Rocky III, who was just, and all the Rocky villains up to that point were very loud, abrasive, charismatic. It's like, let's shift it in a different direction, and it worked very well. So Stallone tweaked the portrayal of the character on screen that way to match that energy that Dolph wanted to bring to the character. So I do want to say that over 8,000 people auditioned for Ivan Drago. I mean, at this point, I mean, Rocky, the franchise is huge. So they're gonna spread or cast a pretty wide net to try to find the next Rocky villain. So he was initially turned down for the role for being too tall, as he is 6'5", and Stallone is listed as 5'10", but I think there's been a lot of questioning of that he's really closer to 5'7". Anyway, I digress. He did end up dragging out several months, and he, of course, obviously won the part. But, I mean, this guy, he was incredibly intelligent. I think he holds like a master's in chemical engineering or something. He's a very, very smart person. He did win the role. So, I mean, he's a great choice for MVP. I love it.
Yeah, gotta give it to him.
Yep.
All right, stats and accolades of Rocky IV. Release date was November 27th, one of my son's birthdays, 1985. On a budget of $28 million. Opening weekend, it took in $19.9 million in about 1,300 screens. Domestically, it would go on to make $127.8 million. And worldwide, it has grossed just over $300 million. So this was, to date, is the biggest hit as far as money in the Rocky franchise.
Yeah, the highest grossing Rocky movie, ranked number 4 for the year at the box office. And it was the highest grossing sports movie of all time for 24 years until Blindside took the title from him in 2009.
Blindside, of course. Wow. Yeah, this movie was number one at the box office for 6 straight weeks. So, I mean, it was, people went to see it in droves. It's Rocky. USA versus Russia, of course people are going to go to that.
Yeah, height of the Cold War. PG-13, 0 F-bombs, and the body count, just 1, Apollo Creed. I think that I heard they regretted killing off the character.
I did read that Sylvester Stallone himself said that, like, he would have instead had him be
injured or just sidelined.
Maybe some sort of injury where he had to be in a wheelchair, but he could stay as a part of the franchise.
I'm surprised he didn't change that in the director's cut.
That'd be a big change.
The runtime for the theatrical cut was 91 minutes. For the director's cut, it was 93 minutes. The director's cut coming out in 2021. The biggest differences between the theatrical cut and the director's cut, and it sounds like you guys haven't even watched the director's cut.
I have not. I've never seen it. It just came out last year. Yeah.
Yeah, but he cut all the robot scenes.
No.
Hang on. A lot of changes.
On my rewatch, I did watch the director's cut, and I remember there being a robot. I remembered it for the longest time.
You watched the director's cut?
Yes, I did. Because I was going to mention the robot. I was like, oh, maybe it was in 3. Like, maybe I'm misremembering.
No, it was
4. He added scenes of Apollo justifying wanting to fight Drago more. They should have a scene of the Botza Commission banning Rocky from fighting Drago. They have a scene of Rocky saying bye to Adrian. Extended Rocky 3 scenes are added. More of Drago talking, so we learn more about his character, more backstory like Phil was talking about earlier.
Oh, okay.
They changed the heartless Apollo funeral, and the ending speech also was changed. So quite a bit of changes in the director's cut, only a 2-minute difference, though.
Okay, I thought I was just going insane. I was like,
the happy birthday Pauly robot is in there. Yeah, that is definitely Rocky 4.
There's that, and then you mentioned they added more scenes from Rocky 3. The first 7 minutes of the director's cut is a complete just recap of Rocky 3. Rocky 4, if you watch a director's cut and you've never seen a Rocky movie before, is perfect for someone who is just coming into the series.
Because Rocky 3 ends with the punch and then freeze frame, and Rocky 4 essentially picks up at that same moment, but it's only about like a couple minutes at the beginning of Rocky 4. Right? So I guess they added more onto it, you said, for the director's cut.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Yeah. The first full 7 minutes of it is all of Rocky III. You can just watch all of Rocky III and Rocky IV. Perfect. No notes.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
So the critics, mixed reviews, mostly negative at the time. Some people looked at it as a propaganda movie, putting Russians in a negative light. Yeah, sure. But two of the great critics of the time representing the divisiveness of how the film was perceived. Roger Ebert, 2 out of 4 stars. Gene Siskel, giving it 3.5 out of 4.
Wow. Okay.
So it wasn't 2 thumbs up. It was 1 thumb up, 1 thumb down in this situation. Yeah,
mixed. And I think that's across the board. I mean, you have to have a certain, I think, mentality when you watch a film like this, knowing it's not winning Academy Award. It's not for that. It's a fun film. And if you're not in the right mindset to appreciate it in that way, you're probably not going to like it.
Rotten Tomatoes, 37%, Metacritic 40, and then but the director's cut we were talking about got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I think that's also, a testament of like
nostalgia.
This nostalgia, exactly. Yeah.
Awards of the film, 5 Razzie wins, worst director, worst actor, worst score, and worst supporting actress. So Brigitte Nielsen did win the Razzie. Yeah. Terrible.
And Stallone was a double nominee for that year. He got Best Actor for this and for Rambo 2. So
And we mentioned the worst score win earlier. 4 Razzie nominations on top of that. So this was a heavily nominated Razzie movie. Worst Picture and Worst Screenplay. Philip, this is the first movie we've ever done that has any Razzie nomination. Is it, Phil? I don't know if we've ever done a movie not the one that's been a contender at the Razzies.
Yeah, I'm sure that we have done one that's at least had a nomination for the Razzies. But as far as one that's had this many award wins and nominations.
No, nowhere close. Nowhere close to this.
But you know what? Who cares? This is a great movie. It's fun to watch, and it's got a high replay value.
I mean, all you're telling me here is that it was nominated for awards.
End of sentence. Music of the year for 1985. Grammy Record of the Year was We Are the World by USA for Africa, the Quincy Jones produced, one that, say, whatever.
Yeah.
It was number 20. It was number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100 that year. Number 1, a much better song, Careless Whisper by Wham. Take it away, saxophone. I love that. I love that song. It's great.
Movies of the year, top of the box office. Back to the Future, Rambo, First Blood, Part 2, The Color Purple. But number 1 for 1985, Out of Africa, which also won the Oscar for Best Picture. So double crown for the year. That's director Sidney Pollack, Robert Redford, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, but I just cannot believe that was top of the box office that year. That's crazy. It says the person who's never seen it, but yeah, I mean.
And the Razzie Worst Picture winner was Rambo First Blood Part 2. So,
Stallone taking it away.
Full circle with Stallone. He was heavily, I wonder if he even went to the ceremony.
But he had two movies that pulled in a lot of money that year, so.
Yeah, 2 in the movies in the top 4.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Of his most iconic franchises of his career. So, again, peak year for Stallone.
So, he'll take those Razzie nominations with a smile on his face. I don't think he
can. Straight to the bank.
Yep. An average movie ticket in 1985 cost you $3.55.
Wow.
Events of 1985, Coca-Cola introduced New Coke. Nintendo released the NES in October of that year. Michael Jordan was named NBA Rookie of the Year. Now, that really tells you something there, how long ago this was. Jordan was a rookie. Route 66, one of the first U.S. highways, was officially removed from the highway system. And born in 1985, Emil Hirsch, Carey Mulligan, Rooney Mara, and Keira Knightley.
All right, let's move on to our best scenes and lines from Rocky IV, or should I say our best montages and lines from Rocky IV, because that's the dominating factor in mine.
Absolutely.
So, has to be. Corey, I'm going to pass things off to you first as our guest to give us your runner-up for best scene.
Runner-up for best scene. I think, and I'm going to have to call out a montage here, but not the one you're thinking of.
Sure.
Okay. I think there's a very clear definitive montage scene that is the best, But you know, where Rocky gets into his Lamborghini and just goes for a drive and thinks about his entire life.
Yes, the driving montage. We get the full fucking Rocky highlight reel. Yes. That is also my runner up.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Wow.
Absolutely.
No easy way out. It Robert fires me up. We got fucking like 15 angry gear shifts. I mean, it's great.
As the resident bass player on the podcast, I have to call out Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out. I know you all said it's your runner-up. That is my winner for best scene, and it's mainly because of the song. You know, I love
it. It's a good scene.
It's got that great little bass solo at the beginning. I mean, that song slaps.
Yes, it does.
So, yeah, that was my best scene. Again, you get the history. I mean...
Wow.
He's driving down his car.
Full history, He definitely is wrecking in that situation. He's driving so fast that there's like times where he just kind of looks off and is even paying. Let's say,
I love about it is that he's in LA and there's no one else on the road at all.
No traffic.
No traffic.
Straight shot.
But you got the interspersed moments of Drago punching and then you know, the flashbacks to Rocky III. You actually get a little of that's the only time you get to see Nick in the film. He's never spoken about, but you get a brief shot of him in that montage. So, because we kind of crossed off a lot of the runner-up and winner there. Technically I would say the runner-up here, but I don't want to upstage you all because I feel like my runner-up is your all's winner. So, Corey,
the process is you got to say your runner-up because we've already.
I know
said
the
ours.
Process. But I'm going to see if I'm right. I'm going to predict it. Corey,
you're not going to be. You're fucking up the movie.
I bet I'm right.
Give me your runner-up. Give me your runner-up.
Okay, all right. My runner-up is John Cafferty's Hearts on Fire, the second half of the
train
montage. Yeah,
that is my winner best scene, the second train. You know, there's two training montages. This is the second training montage.
So, okay, Corey, is that your winner as well?
It's not, but it's a great scene.
Okay.
So I matched up with Corey on the runner-up, and I matched up with you on the winner.
No, this was my runner-up. This is your winner.
Holy shit. Okay, God
yeah, my
damn,
winner
getting
was
confusing.
Is getting people. Confusing. Yeah, the montages are all blending together here. So technically, this is part two of the training montage, but the montage is so long, you need two songs to play through it. With Adrian arriving in Russia being kind of splitting the two parts.
Dude, we got the classic tree chopping. We got the,
the bunny hops with the log.
Yeah, I love the where he rips Drago's picture off. I mean, he's just like, oh, yeah, fuck, let's go. It's so awesome.
You see him in the mirror afterwards like, ugh. It's determination.
Well, can we talk about, we haven't talked about some of the ridiculous stuff in this movie. This might be a good moment to do that.
It's all ridiculous. What are you talking
it's all
about? I know, but I mean, like the mountaintop, he climbs 25,000 foot mountain with barely any
I
gear.
Don't think it was that tall. That would be...
It's pretty high up there,
I would love to see
man.
The actual footage of Sylvester climbing because I'm pretty sure it's just a hill and then the actual stunt man
stunt
is up
double.
On
his yeah,
is on the...
Yeah, because you notice how wide the camera is? Yeah. That is just one of the most ridiculous scenes in this movie. I mean, and we talk about the fact that Apollo dies because Rocky is an idiot. Like, letting your best friend drive drunk is pretty much what he does. I don't care what your friend tells you, at some point you got to throw in the towel. I mean, come on, man.
He had it in his hand.
Now, Corey, you're bringing the hot take. You had Rocky One is your worst, well, number four Rocky film, I will say. And now you're saying that you don't have No Easy Way Out nor Hearts on Fire as your best scene. What is it then?
It's going to be Sad Boy Hours, guys. It's going to be the scene where Apollo bites the dust. I think that's going to be the best scene. I think that's the linchpin
Jesus,
of the movie.
Jesus, man. Wow.
I know it's dark. a downer. It's dark, but it's the whole
you
driving
went
non-montage. Point of it. I went non-montage on it. I think it's I think it's a powerful scene, and I think it juxtaposes in Rocky's fight as well.
Is he okay?
Somebody get him back down there!
There is no movement by Green.
Can they light on them?
I defeat all that.
Is he dead?
Get out of here!
It's absolute pandemonium.
It was just supposed to be an exhibition.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where's the medical team, by the way? Like, okay, so I know, like, the way the photographers just surround him and he gets no medical treatment. I don't know. That was a little hard to.
Now they did say that of course this could be apocryphal, but that Carl Weathers did such a good job of doing like the twitch on the ground that the real on set medical staff that for the film shoot. Actually thought he was injured.
That twitch was disgusting to
see. It really was. Yeah. So great job keeping it light here on the podcast, making that your
love the vibe. Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Great vibes.
I didn't even have that as an audible mention, like nowhere to be found.
I did have the Living in America song by James Brown as an audible
mention. Oh, yeah. Sure. Apollo's entrance. Apollo's entrance. And he's got like 30 nicknames.
he even tells him, he's like, hold on, it's just a little bit longer. Like,
this is getting to the best part or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know what's cool? You know what's cool here, though, is Apollo didn't take the training seriously in this movie in this moment, just like Rocky didn't take it seriously in Rocky 3.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, yeah.
It's really cool to see that juxtaposition between the two characters. And like you said, of course, you got Jim fucking Brown. So, yeah.
Corey, did what honorable mentions did you have?
I mean, I didn't see it in my rewatch, but Uncle Polly's robot. Oh, man.
That was...
Wow.
I mean, let's talk about the fact that it's the most advanced piece of technology you've ever seen in 1985. A fully working robot that had a telephone connection, wireless. Fantastic. But
that was a real robot that they incorporated into. It wasn't just a prop for the film.
I thought it was a prop.
It was made like about an engineering company. The name of it was like Sico or Psycho, S-I-C-O. That, Sylvester Stallone went on record saying that his son, who has autism, they met that robot and like helped his son. And like that's used for some type of therapeutics like that. And for other things as well. And he wrote it into the movie for that reason. So I know it's kind of a joke, but there was a story behind it. So it's kind of
that's great.
And it's gone on to like that robot actually toured with James Brown after this film came out. I mean, so it was oddly enough at that time in the 80s got a lot of hype and following behind it.
That is wild. I thought it was legitimately just a one.
No, I did too. Yeah.
So. Like just to show how opulent, Rocky and his entire family was. Yeah.
So here's a robot. Yeah. All right, Warren, what honorable mentions did you have?
The first training montage.
The first half of part one of the training.
Yeah, there's two of them. Yeah,
I mean, and the song that plays that.
Well, though, this is the training classic training montage song. Like if you look it up,
it's
the song
called training montage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But when it plays Hearts on Fire, it's still a training montage.
No, but that's the second training montage. There's two training montages. It's not one. It's two, man.
I know you're saying it's two, but they're both they take place in the same setting, and they're only split up by like a 1 minute appearance. By
it doesn't matter.
It's the same.
It's first and second training montage.
Part one and part two.
Yeah, and then I got Duke's prep speech.
Apollo was like my son. I raised him. And when he died, part of me died. But now, you're the one. You're the one that's going to keep his spirit alive. You're the one that's going to make sure that he didn't die for nothing. Now, you're going to have to go through hell, worse than any nightmare that you ever dreamed. But in the end, I know you'll be the one standing.
That's right. That's right.
You know what you got to do. Do it. Do it.
Thanks, Duke.
Yeah, that was amazing. And that's long enough speech to be a scene just because of the exchanges with Rocky. We got the back and forth. So that's going to round up my honorable mentions. But I have to say, my worst scene... I think the final boxing match has got some great moments, but I have a lot of issues. I mean, there's no rules in this fucking match. It's like a video game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of abuse. I mean, Rocky, how many times does Rocky get fall down, knocked down? He gets knocked down at what, 20, 25, 30 times? It's crazy how many times he just gets right back up. It was just very poorly choreographed. I feel like the definitely could have maybe tightened up the boxing match and could have improved that last scene quite a bit.
Can I call out something just real quick in just the whole Rocky verse?
Right. Okay. Here we go.
Rocky, what is it? One gets hit so hard in the head that he loses his vision, right? Like he loses part of his vision. Or is that
two? That was part of one of the films where he had to get a surgery for a detached, I think it was Rocky II, where he had like a detached retina or something like that.
Yeah, Mick was like, "Hey, follow my finger." And it's like, "You can't even see this punch coming. You can't see it." They never address that again. I mean, he gets the snot beat out of him every film after that. And it's just like, you know, he's not going blind yet, but it's an issue, but he's not blind yet.
And I think that Rocky V tried to deal with that more directly. It's like the medical repercussions of boxing and probably, I mean,
just opposite sides of the spectrum. Though. Yeah, and there was a lot of like a superhero in this movie, and they try to ground it.
Well, there was a lot of medical inaccuracies.
It's not consistent at all.
Result of that, yeah. So probably why it wasn't very well received. Now, when you talk about
even the DVD menu, did you guys notice it's like a video game? The music and the way the picture is frozen. Phil, did you notice that on Rocky IV?
I don't have it on DVD. Sorry.
Well, no, the Apple TV. It's the DVD menu.
Well, I was watching it on my Happy Birthday Polly robot. It has a screen built in, and I'm able to get voice command there.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But I mean, just a step down from DVD. But anyway, and then the other one that I had, probably Polly's best moment, is when they're getting ready to, they're in Russia, they're getting ready to walk into the fight, and Polly tells Rocky that, you know, essentially he wishes he were him.
I know you're kind of busy just now, but I want to tell you some things I never told you. I know sometimes I act stupid and I say stupid things, but you kept me around and other people would have said, drop that bum. You give me respect. You know, it's hard for me to say these kind of things because that ain't my way. But if I could just unzip myself and step out and be someone else, I want to be you. You're all hot, Rock. Now bless this guy's teeth out.
I'll try.
Where is the American congregation? He's got like no support. He's during the Cold War. He's there by himself. No money.
Paulie's the American congregation. That's all he needs. He's the unsilent majority.
I would say he's got no security detail or any. There's nothing. Don't get me started on like why he even went to Russia to begin with. It's just so far-fetched anyway.
All right, so let's move on to our best lines from the film. Corey, back to you. What is your runner-up for best line?
My runner-up is "I Must Break You" by Ivan Drago.
I must break you.
Oh, just like the best scene, that was my winner for best line. I must break you. Yeah.
I had that as an honorable mention. Yeah.
A lot of Ivan Drago's lines are, his one-liners are just
high
so
usage rate. I mean,
you will lose.
Quotable.
Yes.
All right. So, Warren, what was your runner-up then?
I can't get over the size of this Russian.
That was your run.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great line.
Not as good as "I Must Break You." My runner-up actually was "If he dies, he dies."
If he dies, he dies.
That is my best line.
Oh, we swapped the Drago lines.
Well, you know the old expression.
Did we just become best friends?
Nope.
I had that as an honorable mention, so you guys are knocking those out for me.
So what was your winner then, Warren?
My winner is...
I see three of them out there.
Get the one in the middle.
Right. Hit the one in the middle.
That was close for me to be a runner-up. That was good. All right. And then the only other honorable mention I had was kind of cheesy. It was near the end. Well, it was the end of the film where it's Rocky's speech.
What else? Trying to say is that if I can change,
я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился сегодня.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
Каждый может измениться.
So unrealistic.
I think that was ad-lib that speech was, and it kind of it shows, but it's good. It's good.
Never would happen. They're going to turn on one of their own for an American. Get the fuck out of here. And by the way, wouldn't Putin or whoever is Gorbachev, they just have him killed. They have Rocky killed He would never even leave. He would never make it out of Russia. They'd probably like have a car waiting for him or fucking take out his plane or something.
Now, we just did Last Crusade for 1989, where Gorbachev won Time Person of the Year or whatever for tearing down the wall. So maybe he could change, like Rocky said, that he was Rocky started it all. He ended the Cold War. I think we can all agree on that. Rocky ended the Cold War. That's it.
Yeah. Rocky IV helped.
Corey, did you have any honorable mentions or?
Oh yeah, I had one honorable mention. Bringing it right back to Sad Boy Hours again. It's when Apollo is telling him not to throw in the towel.
You don't stop this fight, no matter what.
I mean, it's very, oh, it's my real God, powerful.
It's so sad.
It's very, it's sad, but God, it's just damn. Like, I am sorry, guys. Listen, it's sad, but it's powerful because you have Rocky.
You have to have you on for Silence of the Lambs. Jesus Christ.
Sophie's Choice. When are we doing that one?
Okay. But listen, it plays in later because Rocky says, don't throw in the towel no matter what happens, because he told, like, Apollo said, you're going to know what this fight means. You're going to know what this fight means later.
Yeah, and then spoilers for Creed 2, but that comes back around when Ivan is on the side of the ring and he throws in the towel for his son because he was, you know, taking a lot of hits and his health was at risk. He makes the choice to throw in the towel, the choice that Rocky couldn't make. So,
yeah.
And that is one of my honorable mentions, kind of going to bring it full circle here. Throw the damn towel. And then probably, this has got to be one of the worst lines. The worst moment, I can't believe this is in the movie, when they cut to Adrian, who somehow is in Russia now, even though Rocky apparently is going to be broke the next movie. She's flying to Russia.
If he can afford a robot, he can afford a plane ticket. Come on.
Yeah. But she says, you're going to do it.
That's
so bad. I just kind of took me out of the moment. Like, I was kind of into it. You know, because even I have problems with that final boxing match because there's no rules. Like, they just could have made it a little more grounded. But there are moving, rousing moments in it. And then that line kind of takes you out of it. You're like, oh,
well,
shit.
I mean, that is something with the Rocky franchise, is that even in those final fights, Adrian is always there, like, saying something, like some, even though he probably can't hear her. Some word of motivation. There's always a connection with her point of view from the fight. So I think they were just tapping into that. Moving on to Judge Bob's recasting court, where Warren, Corey, and I will recast the film with today's stars. All rise for the Honorable Judge Bob presiding.
Gentlemen, you may be seated. Recasting court is in session. Looked at the notes. Corey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Glad to have you. Notes look good, guys. Definitely excited to get the battle going here. I was rehearsing my best Bruce Buffer coming into this. I recorded it.
that would have been good. It's impossible.
I recorded it a few times. I'm glad I did. There's only one man that can pull that off. In my head, it sounded amazing. And when I played it back, I was like, oh, God. Oh, dear God. So we'll not be doing the Bruce Buffer.
it's Michael Buffer, by the way.
However, we are going to be hearing a recasting tonight for Polly, Apollo, Adrian, Drago, and Rocky. This is a freaking movie, gentlemen. This is what movies are about. This is timeless. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to fuck it up. So I can't wait to see you guys
because it's a perfectly cast movie. I mean, it's almost blasphemous that we're doing this segment, but I mean, we have to soldier on.
It's horrible. So let's
show
get,
must go on.
Let's get elbow deep in our mistakes here. Warren,
let's get ready to rumble.
No.
Okay. Sorry.
It's bad. Right. It's so bad. The recordings. I should send you one. They're so bad.
Please do, because
we get one on air right now? Why don't you just give it a crack right now?
God, I'll put some reverb on it. Give you some modulation. Right. It'll sound good. Go ahead. Go. Here we go.
All right. Here we go.
Okay, that wasn't bad.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, man. You gave yourself a hard time. That's
you nailed the notes, but you definitely need to drag it out a little longer. But you nailed the cadence, okay?
Okay.
So Warren won last week, which would give him the honors. However, as we do time and time again, guest is going to have the honors. So Corey, who do you have cast for Polly?
For Polly, I feel like this is a very strong casting. Very proud of this one. I picked, and to be fair, I watched the movie this morning, so I feel like I've really captured the spirit of this character here.
Wow, really doing your homework last minute, huh?
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Like, I mean, really, really taking this seriously.
100%, right?
100% correct. I picked Bert Kreischer.
Oh, I love it.
As my Polly.
That's so good. That's my. I love that. Oh, good.
I mean, I feel like Polly at his heart is a party animal. And so who better than Bert?
Well, the best part about that, because, you know, we, away from the judge, we do share the recastings amongst ourselves, but the best part of that,
they're locked. We can't change them after we've shared them.
But the best part of that though, is that Bert would, he would really just be playing himself. So it's a perfect casting. So I do love that.
It's so easy for him.
Rocky, you are a machine. All right, Warren, who is your father?
You know, I can't believe how young this actor was that originally played Polly. He's only 45. He fucking looks 65 or 70 in this movie.
he's like that one Simpsons character, Moleman or whatever. He's just like, I'm 27.
Hans Moleman.
So I almost went Joey Pants because I thought the character was older.
I consider Joey Pantoliano.
Joey Pantoliano. But what about Jon Favreau? He was in... played Rocky Marciano, the only undefeated heavyweight, played that movie back in the early 2000s. So he's got a connection with boxing movies. He's a great supporting anchor or character to our leading man, our hero. I think Jon Favreau would be terrific as Polly.
He's actually an ex-boxer, I believe, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, happy. Yeah,
happy Hogan. Happy. But I think he'd be great in this. This Polly is the character of the movie. I mean, he's like, he is a character, and Jon Favreau would have a lot of fun in that.
He's great. A little overcast, I think, for this.
It's fucking Rocky.
It is Rocky.
You can't overcast. Yes. What are you talking about?
Polly is a minor. I mean, I think. You know,
yeah, dude. What are you saying?
Anyway, I'm saying whatever it takes to support my own argument. But there's a pathetic,
as we often do here.
There's a pathetic nature to the Polly character. I mean, he is. At this point, he's kind of underling for Rocky. I mean, they get him.
Could definitely do that.
They get him the robot, just, you know, make him feel, you know, have a companion or whatnot. Creepiness aside.
Yeah.
For my Polly, I went Wayne Knight. You know, I can
see
him.
Doesn't he host a game show?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he hosts a game show.
But, you know, he just.
Now, in the mornings.
I can just see that. Him portraying Knight. That side of
that's
Polly.
Wayne Brady. I'm thinking of Wayne Brady.
You fucking idiot. I was like, Wayne Knight, he could.
No,
I would like to change my Polly to Wayne Brady.
Yeah, no, hold on. I was like, Wayne Knight, fill me in here. Because this is, I just pulled an RT. I just pulled, the last name's mixed
Jesus.
Up. Wayne Knight, give me some credits.
Yeah, okay. Dennis Nedry from Jurassic Park. Newman
Jurassic
from.
Park.
Oh, God, Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Okay,
that's what I thought.
Newman.
Wow.
Stop focusing on Wayne Brady.
I haven't seen him in anything, and fucking, when's the last time Wayne Knight's been in anything?
It doesn't matter.
And we're not recasting this in 2005, Philip.
No, it doesn't matter. Anyway. It's good. It's good.
I don't even know if he's working anymore.
All right. Looked at this one. I tell you what, I loved the Jon Favreau, but Wayne Knight hits it for me. I freaking love that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
All the way.
I don't even know.
Personally, I would have given it to Bert Kreischer.
I think you're recasting. Phil at Back to the Future. He's recasting in the wrong year. Wayne Knight may be great, but not in 2022, man. What are you doing?
I saw Bert 2 weeks ago at the Ryman. I don't know if Bert's ready for Polly just yet.
Yeah. Well, he's got his own movie coming out, so we'll see.
Are you telling me you can't see Bert Kreischer sitting in a chair roasting a marshmallow over an open candle?
I want to see
I can't ask a lot of your honor. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. As far as visualization.
Fair enough.
All right. Keep it rolling. Phil, you're up. Who is Apollo Creed?
Apollo, you got to bring the showmanship. He has to, of course, look like a boxer. You need the physicality of it. Good companion, best friend to our protagonist, Rocky Balboa, someone that has been in the franchise for years. At this point, both Rocky and Apollo are weathered. You know, they're on the verge, or in his case, he's already retired. I went with Mike Coulter. who Luke Cage in the Marvel cinematic universe there. I guess the mm-hmm. TV shows, whatnot, Defenders, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones. For me, he fits that box that I want for my Apollo Creed.
All right. Warren, Apollo Creed, who do you got?
Charismatic, quick-witted. He's a badass boxer, but he's also got a lot of personality. My choice, okay, maybe get a little shit for it, okay? I went with Michael B. Jordan because now
a little shit for you, it.
Hold on a second. In doing this, I can't visualize anyone else embodying Apollo Creed because he does it so well in the Creed films, and he is playing his dad at the same age he is in Creed. So it's like Godfather 2. These characters are never going to cross paths. Yeah. You could throw a wig on them. And Michael B. Jordan's got enough range and talent as an actor as he could do some different character additions, some different actions as an actor, and play a different person that is his dad. I think he would be great in it. And I think it would work. I mean, to have two iterations that can never cross paths, play by the same actor.
There's no doubt that Michael B. Jordan can do it. It's just weird. It's just weird to have the same character doing two different iterations of father and son.
It's the only casting that I kind of tilted my head at on that one.
Well, I considered it. I considered because
yeah, no, I did too. No,
but I was like, I couldn't do that.
Hey, you can't fault me for willing to go where you guys weren't because that's what's best for
because
the movie.
Because in the past, nowadays, we've made these moves and you've disqualified them. You would disqualify.
No. Recasting Jared Leto in the same like to play this.
That was weeks
character.
Ago. Okay,
a year,
that
seasons
was
ago,
season one actually.
Yeah, no, that's different. But this is part of the same Rocky verse, and it would be an interesting wrinkle. I mean, Marvel has done variations of bringing actors back to play different people. You can make it work. I think it would work because, again, you're never going to have Creed, his character in Creed, cross paths with Apollo's character in the Rocky movies.
All right,
Corey, jump in here. What do you got, big guy?
For my Apollo, I picked David Diggs. You might know him from Snowpiercer, on
Hamilton
HBO right now. Hamilton.
Yeah.
I picked him because he feels. I feel like he has the personality for it.
Definitely.
And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know, I feel like my Google algorithms are completely ruined right now because I have Googled so many male actors.
Welcome to the club.
And it's just like, oh, hey, Instagram pics. He's got the physique. I think he can pull it off.
That's good.
Right, so to say, I want to clarify that Snowpiercer show is not an HBO show. That's TNT show streaming on TNT. HBO Max. Okay, because HBO, that's a gold standard, okay?
There's some good shows on TNT, but I love the deep David Diggs. I'm a big fan of his. Good job.
Where is
here we go
Dwayne Johnson in this?
I consider The Rock. It's just not
he's the right age, the right look, the right charisma. We never give him any love. He doesn't get cast in a lot of these remakeables. This is a Dwayne Johnson perfect spot, really, guys.
Yeah,
really?
The Rock belongs. Look, we recast A movies. The Rock belongs in B movies. I'm sorry, but he doesn't. I haven't seen him in a good movie in a really long time. He makes really entertaining B action movies.
What is Rocky 4?
It's a really great bad movie. It's a really great bad movie, but it's Rocky, and Rocky is an A-list franchise. So
somebody didn't watch Jumanji.
Okay.
It's not bad. Look, I love The Rock. He's very likable. He is. Got a lot of charisma and he does have talent. I think his acting in Be Cool is some of the best stuff he's done in terms of character work, but he doesn't do good movies. I'm sorry. He just doesn't make them.
I'm going to go ahead and give the nod to myself on this one. No, honestly, I don't really love any of the castings and
it's
just
a free cast. Yeah.
It's not great. Ergo, I'm going to go Michael B. Jordan. Take the low hanging fruit. Well done, Warren.
Boo.
Yeah. Boo. Yeah. I mean, they're all bad options. I just think I couldn't separate the character from Michael B. Jordan, okay. And I think we can make it work.
All right.
Warren, who is your Miss Sad Eyes herself? Who is Adrian Balboa?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Sad Eyes. Shy, meek, but ready to blossom. I went with Ana de Armas.
Ana de Armas. Oh no,
yes.
No.
It's yes, Adrian. No. You know what? I don't even know if I leave, go to Russia if it's Adrian.
Yeah, you just shot the best hole in your argument right there.
No. She's a very emotive actress. She's so alive in everything she does. I could just see her bringing a lot to the role, and with the little that's there to work with, I think she'd be terrific in the part.
All right, Corey, who do you have here?
I went with Marissa Tomei, former Adrian.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
I just feel like she has the right look for it. I feel like
what year are we recasting this? 2022, right?
Okay, yeah, you can go right now.
Yeah, just making sure. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man's aunt.
Yeah.
Aunt May.
Yeah.
You're casting as the female lead in Rocky.
All right, Philly, what do you got?
I do love that, but I like the Ana de Armas, just not quite the right fit.
Fit everything. She's in a Bond movie for 15 minutes. She's like the best part of it. She's fucking terrific in everything she does.
You said it best when there's not a lot written for the character in here. So I think you need an actress that can elevate the little
and Ana de Armas does that. Now I'm a little biased because I have worked with her.
It's my turn.
You know.
Calm down. Let me go. You had your time. I went with Jennifer Connelly, a great actress that can do a lot with a little. I do agree with you there, Warren. As far as you need an actress that can do that, so all three of these I feel are good.
Jennifer Connelly, you get her. They're writing in some more scenes.
Definitely, yeah.
You guys missed this one so bad. Listen. Ready for this? Carey Mulligan, who played Winnie in Money Never Sleeps. She's absolutely perfect for this. Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, I love her.
Go watch Never Sleeps. Look at Winnie, Carey Mulligan.
That being said, another
point for Judge Bob. I'm winning this one. And Corey's going to take it. Marissa Tomei, well done. There's no such thing as Drago in today's world, so I can't wait to hear what you guys put together for it. Corey. Who is Drago?
You're correct. There is no one like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Circa 1985. It's impossible. However, my best choice was Liam Hemsworth. And my reason behind this is,
I've seen him in LA Fitness. He is not that imposing at all. So you are losing this. He's my size.
Okay. Well, it's
6 foot.
It's very hard
to find.
You're
going to put him in the free guy costume.
He has half a brain, but here we go. Upload him.
It's very hard to find a male actor that is in the age range and could have the physique for it. Liam Hemsworth fits it. He's 6'3". Dolph Lundgren was 6'5".
He feels 6'1" in person. He's not, no.
Okay.
Gotcha. He's a skinny, lean guy.
I feel like with the genetics, I mean, we see his brother. He can put on the muscle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
His brother's a beast.
He can pull it off.
All right. Order Warren.
Yeah.
Who is Drago?
Yeah, so I had a short list here. Jason Momoa,
Dave Bautista. Yeah,
Momoa, you cut the hair, make him look different.
I think Momoa could do it.
I mean, you could almost think of Momoa for Rocky. He's such a good lead, but he's so imposing. You lean more towards.
You bring a little Khal Drogo. Wait, Khal Drogo. So I got mixed up with my Game of Thrones. Was it Drogo in Game of Thrones? Khal Drogo? Oh,
you're asking the wrong person about Game of Thrones.
Anyway, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, so I I recasted John Cena because I'm thinking of an actor who's got the size and the muscle. Yeah, for sure. I'm doing it. Dolph Lundgren played a Russian. He wasn't Russian, so you don't have Swedish. To do that. Yeah, you go with an John Cena. he barely talks anyways, but he's really coming on as an actor. I mean,
I love him in Peacemaker. Suit. He's great, but he actually is 6'1". You were giving Corey crap about Liam.
He's six foot one.
But John Cena's a fucking beast.
Every time
he's
say his name,
built like a brick shit house.
It just makes me laugh because he's the. I love him again. I love him in Peacemaker. Great. He's great.
Fast and Furious.
No. You all said there is just a limited pool that can match.
You gotta go with someone who can kick some ass.
Yeah, they can match what Dolph Lundgren brought to it. I mean, he was easily one of the best parts of this film. You want someone who's physically imposing. I mean, could kill a man with a punch or several, but it just doesn't have to say a lot of dialogue. And this is low-hanging fruit here, I know, but I'm going to pull the Mountain from Game of Thrones, Hafthor Joyous Bjornsson. I mean, this guy, he's a beast.
He is 6'9".
Yeah.
I did consider that, but you have to think that Rocky and Drago represent America and Russia, and they're like of equal, like if you see him on the poster, one isn't so massively larger than the other. That's not what he is. So that's why I didn't go with Mountain.
Yeah, but if they can make Sylvester Stallone match up against 6'5", Dolph Lundgren,
you're going to have some whole ring shots, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have your Rocky actor, and then you're going to have a 6'9" monster.
Yeah,
in there.
You're casting too big.
Fine.
You can cast Half Thor in the Mike Tyson Punch Out live action for sure.
Yeah,
the video game. Yeah,
yeah.
Listen, you know, that's just technicalities. Okay, don't
movie's
worry
a video game in some parts, anyways. Jesus, especially that fight. My God.
So shortlist, I had Dave Bautista on it. Yeah. Actually, Warren mentioned him. I kind of felt like that was the right vein to go in. Guys.
These are all terrible.
No, terrible. We're awful.
The Mountain's taking this, Phil.
We're all over the place. I think that just goes to show how surprisingly difficult this movie is.
John Cena was the one that fit the bill. Yeah,
that was the worst one.
You have to.
By far the worst.
Box office proceeds, okay? I'm thinking about appeasing the studios. You got to think the business side as much as as the actor side.
I absolutely love John Cena. However, he is like in the weirdest way hysterical. And he's just not the guy that you want killing somebody.
And he is funny in a couple of roles like that, not in everything he does.
In everything he does. If the guy walked down the street, it's hysterical. Like
him playing it straight is funny. Yeah.
It's just everything about that man is so funny. It's just
he has the talent and he has the ability to play an imposing bad motherfucker.
Right. The decision has been made. It's to me. So moving on.
Shut up.
All right. If we need a tiebreaker, which if anybody but Phil takes this, then we're going to need a tiebreaker. So keep that in mind, because you got to bring it here with your impossible casting of Rocky Balboa.
Very impossible.
Phil, with your last, we'll call it a win for Drago. You're up first.
by default. Yeah, thank you. I'll take it. So Rocky, if we were recasting Rocky and I was to start the franchise today, my first choice that I thought of was Miles Teller.
Had him as my Rocky if it was Rocky 1 as well.
It was Rocky 1.
But you know why you did that, though, is because he resembles Sly. That's why you think
little bit.
He looks like him, and you're like, he's got like
you can see him. Okay. Yeah. So, however, I'm thinking franchise at this point. This is the fourth film. Who can carry the franchise? I mean, you know, be believable as a boxer, carry the film, the hero, the protagonist. Mark Wahlberg is my Rocky.
Okay.
I have some thoughts.
Okay, go ahead.
So, seriously,
listen, there's no
wow.
You're gonna mess up regardless. There's no way to do this right. Go on, give it to me.
Wait, so you go with Wahlberger? No, I don't think so.
Give it to me.
Sylvester Stallone is 5'10".
Okay.
Mark Wahlberg is 5'8".
Okay, listen.
Your Drago is 6'9".
Yeah.
It's not believable.
It's more of an underdog fight. Okay,
that's all it is. Never fight. It's a boxing match. There's a weight class, Philip. You're fucking got two fighters on the different end of the spectrum.
It's an unsanctioned fight. Unsanctioned fight. It doesn't matter about that.
They're both heavyweights.
Also, okay. Sylvester Stallone is not. There's no way he's 5'10". I know it says he is on Google. I know it says he is, but he is notoriously one of those actors.
He's like 5'10" in the same way that like Kyler Murray's 6 feet.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Corey. no pressure or anything, but at this point, as you know, Phil's pretty much removed
himself from What are you talking about? That's a great choice.
Yeah, yeah. Phil shit the bed. He fumbled the ball. Question is, can you drive it 80 yards and punch it in the end zone? Let's go.
I think I can.
He had the ultimate tiebreaker. He was up 2-1 on you guys, and then he was like, ah, fuck it.
Listen, franchise player, baby.
Oh, we all shit the bed this episode. This is a horror. Because this movie should never be recast. It's perfectly cast.
Tough. It's really tough.
You guys should have intentionally like nailed this in like with the most obnoxious castings ever. Just
to burn them. All right, what you got, Coco?
Okay, here's what I got. I looked for somebody who had a physical stature similar to Sly. So 5'10", 6 foot. I felt like it paired well with my Apollo casting. My whole casting was all built on.
You're making me blush, Corey.
Physical.
Oh my God.
Stature. I was like,
Warren?
Charmer.
Who I picked is Henry Cavill. Leading man.
Yeah. Like Superman. Yeah.
Muscle mass. The dude can carry it.
Geralt of Rivia. Yeah.
I don't know if he can carry it.
Listen, the dialogue of this movie is kind of ass. There is no dialogue.
So, I mean, like, if you feel like...
Can you look good in a montage? Perfect. We'll take you. All right.
Exactly. I mean, Rocky once complained about looking punchy, right? Or talking punchy, right? So I feel like Henry could just pull that off with an accent. Got it.
Cavill looked good on the poster. I'll leave it at that. for my Rocky, I too, as I said, mentioned earlier... Considered Miles Teller if we were doing an earlier Rocky film. You got to go Chris Hemsworth here. I mean, you're talking about a leading man who can carry a franchise, who is a bad motherfucker.
They're all awful.
Well, compared to the originals, what do you want? Best.
First of all, if you're going Chris, don't you go Evans on this one? How did you Evans land on Hemsworth?
That is funny. I did have Evans written down here, and I changed it to Henry Cavill. But
you should have stuck with the Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I think so.
Just so Hemsworth's
got more sex appeal.
Jesus. All right.
No, I just wanted to put my Connery in there.
I'll go Hemsworth as Drago.
Yeah.
No. Chris Hemsworth. Chris, no. Chris Hemsworth.
Wait. Yeah. I have a Hemsworth.
No, you're Hemsworth. Let's go back.
Corey, sit down. No.
Yeah. Fair.
I've got Chris Evans fighting Dave Bautista with Carey Mulligan hanging on while Dwayne Johnson dies in the beginning. I think Judge Bob wins this one.
I think Judge Bob wins this one too. We did pretty bad, guys.
Yeah.
This is awful.
All right, let's get to the ruling. Who's taking it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give it to Henry Cavill because you guys did so freaking poorly. Giving the guest the freaking win.
A guest has never won recastings before. Corey is the first.
Fire it up. Adrian!
I don't know if he Hemsworth. No, he's recasted done for the episode. He's gone. Liam Hemsworth, and he won. Oh my God!
Well, he lost for that. It was just amazing
that he somehow it's like a golfer having a fucking double bogey on the scorecard. Yeah,
he wins on Henry Cavill and Marissa Tomei.
And if that is not a true Rocky win, I don't know. I took all the punches to the face and came out winning.
Yeah.
I guess that is fitting to the fucking movie. Jesus.
All I can say is the biggest problem in doing some of these movies is you shouldn't fucking touch them. You just leave them alone.
Yeah, this is actually a movie where we shouldn't even have done this segment. Hey, Corey, congratulations. You just won a Super Bowl where the final score was 6-3. Complete shit.
Congratulations.
MVP.
Wins a win. He still gets a ring.
I got the W written down here, so it feels good. Thank you. The belt goes right here. Right here.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Gentlemen, recasting court is adjourned.
All right, fan theory time. So, not a lot of great fan theories out there for Rocky IV, probably not surprising. One of the most compelling ones that I came across, though, was that Apollo knew that he knew the stakes going into the fight, you know, maybe not but when it started, but definitely in the middle of it. He knew that he was going to die and was okay with it. He would have rather died than quit that fight. So that's why he told Rocky not to throw in the towel. He knew what was truly at stake. You can kind of see that from the delivery of Apollo, but he knew that was going to be the consequence. Even though Rocky didn't recognize it, Apollo did.
I can see that. I mean, Duke gave that eulogy at the funeral, saying that, you know, a warrior chooses how they go out. So, I mean, I kind of feel like maybe Apollo might have talked to him about that. I could see that theory, yeah.
You just, like, Apollo thought that was an honorable way to go down?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, did he want to go out? I mean, like, is he, like, had a suicidal tendency now?
Not suicidal necessarily, but just, like, I mean, he's probably very, I mean, he's a retired fighter. He that was a theme of his character early on in that film, was that, you know, he felt like nobody cared about them anymore because they were retired, and he was chasing that former glory.
Yeah,
and he was, I mean, so he probably felt a little depression from not being, from going from being at the highest level like that and being a celebrity and everything that goes with that.
This is one of your better fan theories. This is kind of a compelling.
Yeah. And also you have to think that he had hyped up the USA versus Russia side of it so much that he didn't he didn't want to basically throw in the towel, that because that would be like USA giving up. You see, he was like a representative of that. So he was willing to take it on no matter the consequences, even if that meant him dying. Now, the only other side of that I will take is that he may just thought he was going to get knocked out. He didn't actually think he was going to die, which he would have been fine living with going out. As long as he didn't give up, he would be okay with being KO'd.
Well, I don't know about that, because I'm thinking about it. I think Apollo didn't know he was going to die, because he probably would have counted on the ref stopping the fight.
The ref should have stopped the fight. Yeah.
I don't think Apollo would have thought he was going to die. I just thought, no, I think about it, I'm actually going to say Apollo, he was prepared to take a beating and lose to get his ass kicked, but he did not know he was going to die, because any reasonable ref would have stopped that fight long before that. They let him take way too much punishment.
Mm. Yep.
And we'll close out the episode discussing the legacy of Rocky IV. Kind of kick it off with the franchise of Rocky. We had five Rocky films, which we ranked our Rocky movies earlier. Rocky Balboa followed that. What was that, like, what, 15 years, 13?
I think it was 2006 or 2008. So it was like 18
years. Yeah, 2006. And then you had the reboot of the franchise of Creed 1 and 2. So we've had, and a third one on the way. So we got, what, 9 feature films out of the Rocky franchise so far.
And let me just say,
8 that have come out with a 9th on the way.
And let me just say that, like, as far as like reboots go, reimaginings, whatever, I am so impressed with the Creed films.
Taking
Donnie and having that side of the Apollo character become your protagonist, brilliant and so well cast, so well made. Both of those films are awesome so far.
I really like Creed. The first Creed's really great.
It's so good. Yeah.
The way they focus on the character struggles, I mean, it's a mirror of Rocky. It's really good.
And having the blessing of Sylvester Stallone being involved with
him. Well, then having to be the trainer, too, kind of bringing it full circle. He's like the Mickey character. So video games of the franchise, Rocky, which came out in 1987, was based on the first 4 movies. Mm-hmm. And then another video game titled Rocky came out in 2002, based on the first 5 movies. And then Rocky Legends, which came out in 2004, was also based on the first 5 movies.
They're just not very imaginative with their titles there. It's like, well, Rocky, and then... Then we did Rocky Legends.
Yeah. They also did a 007 Legends. If you guys remember
here we
that.
Go. You always get, it's just like, well, let me think of a way Legends to plug in this other franchise I like. Okay.
Spoofs of Rocky IV. You had Weird Al Yankovic singing Living with a Hernia, which was spoofing Living in America.
Yeah,
that's probably one of the more notable spoofs of the film.
Well, that song Living in America, it put James Brown, he was his first top 40 single in 11 years and the last one that he had. Him being able to tie it into this movie did help bring back his musical career in some ways.
And some other spoofs that I like, Scary Movie 2, Family Guy, South Park, they do Rocky's speech at the end. Themes of Rocky 4, well, we got the most obvious, we've kind of addressed a little bit, the Cold War themes. This reflects the Cold War attitudes, Rocky being America, very patriotic film, a fairy tale Cold War movie, basically.
I mean, probably one of the most patriotic sports movies out there, which I think, I mean, I don't think it does lend to the high replay value of the film. So, I mean, you have that USA versus Russia angle, you know, the great Rocky being the underdog, the comparison of the trainings, him just choosing to get away from it all and going out in the woods, and then the high tech. I mean, you have a lot of things that are butting heads with one another, two different ideal points of view.
Yeah.
So let's not discount that as a huge reason that this movie is such a high replay value.
Another reason it does is you have moving, rousing moments with unintentional funny moments, moments that weren't meant to be funny, but that are when you watch it. And we've said that this Rocky film has the highest replay value of the Rocky franchise.
I mean, Rocky IV for me, I mean, it has a high replay value because, I mean, it's the kind of action movie, we've covered it here, where you can just turn your brain off and watch two dudes.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, yeah.
Knock their brains out.
Yeah, it's better if you turn it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd read that Stallone, the original cut of the film was like an hour longer. So you're thinking, I mean, this is a 90-minute film. Barely. Mm-hmm. So you think it was a 2.5-hour film, you would have got a lot of backstory, but and for whatever reason it was trimmed down. That's part of the reason you have so many montages in the film, but that almost adds to why it's so fun to watch, is because, again, I think someone did the math, it's like 31.9% montages.
Yep, that's
but
right.
The second half of the film is 50% montages. So
yeah, I was going to say.
It is like in like 30 minutes you get like four different montages. So I mean that is a factor. The great soundtrack. Let's
classic not, 80s, man. Just the music, the montages. That's 80s. That's what 80s movies were all about.
Memorable music can drive the replay value of a film to the next level, and this film is a great example of that.
And Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune summed it up best when he said, quote, "Whereas Stallone with Rambo is messing around with real places and real events, in Rocky IV, we all know that this is pure Hollywood, pure fantasy, and very well-made Hollywood fantasy indeed," unquote.
That is going to do it for this episode of Replay Value. Thank you so much for listening. The Replay Value podcast is hosted by me, Philip Reinerson, and my brother, Warren Paul. I'd like to thank Corey Cooper for guesting on this episode. And our recasting judge is Bob Thompson. Produced, edited, and directed by Water Pickles Productions, and dedicated to our father, who we have to thank for our love of cinema. Please be sure to follow the podcast, and if you like what you hear, take the time to rate, review, and share with a friend. You can visit us on our website, replayvaluepod.com, and follow us on Twitter at replayvaluepod. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every other Tuesday, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
This has been a Waldo Pickles production.